Time now for the worship service of our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
It was off. That was Doug's always request for me. Keep it off. Good morning for those on radio WPHM, and it's an embarrassed pastor who's totally human and clean feet. He didn't have his microphone on. Of course, you wouldn't have wanted me to have it on when I was visiting with people. It would have been all over the community. It's better that it was off. And we thank Iris for our prelude music. And when you hear the voices, I don't always name them, but it's Jennifer, and it's also Donna Taylor, who sing so that maybe the lyrics can be perceived and shared with you if it is not discernible in the broadcast. So that's why we do that. It's not vocal training, and it's not tryouts for America's Got Talent. Okay, so. This day is a day we do not have sacrament, but we have next week a guest preacher, a local lady, as I introduced last week. So please, if you're able to worship next Sunday, come out. Had lunch with Linda Crane this last week just to talk about our congregations. She's a deacon at Grace Episcopal, our closest neighbor of churches, hoping to build a closer relationship with our ministries as two churches of differing faith communities, but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so I felt it was appropriate, since we've been in altar and pulpit fellowship 20 years, to invite her to our pulpit. So I know it's Labor Day, but please do not leave because the pastor's not here, okay? Please be here and see the gifts she brings. She serves for 17 years, she said, on the Council of Aging in St. Clair County. She manages 55 employees that provides services for people in St. Clair County. She has that wealth of experience. She's a woman of faith. She's been licensed and ordained in the Episcopal tradition as a deacon for over a decade. She is serving as archdeacon for the diocese because of her gifts of ministry. So please come out for that service. If you're on radio, please tune us in and invite friends who may be from Grace Episcopal to hear Linda speak. This week has been a heavy week for many of our members. Last Sunday, I did the memorial service for Ed Rep, age 92. And then during the honest thing, that afternoon as I was leaving the funeral dinner, Crystal Ferris had died. She had been suffering with her cancer for several months, and I guess you could go back maybe a year or two. The presence was already growing in her body. Been in hospice care for about as long as Etta was, or maybe a shade longer. And she passed away Sunday afternoon. We did the memorial service on Friday, and we had, she was 59 years old. And she was an accountant. She was smart as a whiz. You know how accountants are. They're different. Right, Bill? They don't think like the rest of us. Of course, then again, they think we don't think like the rest of them. I'm glad God made us different. It's that reality that she had many gifts, and she is survived by a son, Jeff Federley. So if you know the Federley family in town, Jeff was her son. So that took place. And between those two services, I had in attendance for the two funerals three times as many people who worshiped at our Savior last week. So if you think that what we do is confined to our walls, you're 100% wrong. This gospel of Jesus Christ is going beyond these walls, as it should and always must do, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed the Lord of forgiveness and the Lord of resurrection. Now, the other kind of bad news is that the health of our members is never getting better much, usually getting worse. So Donna Taylor has been kind enough to put three sign-up cards in the back. Last weekend, Sandy Smith was scratched by a neighbor's cat that they have yet to find. It immediately became infected. Every day she went to the emergency room to track it. They drew circles, pretty circles, around her arm. If it got bigger than this, come back and see us. She did. Get bigger than this, then come in, we'll admit you. She was admitted. Circle got bigger again the next day. She's on IV antibiotics, and she is still in the hospital today. So remember Sandy, and she's in our prayers for today, but there's a sign-up card. If you'll please sign that. It's a lonely experience when you're a single person. You're away from your cat, and you're confined to a hospital which is alien to your experience and movement. And so do it, remembering Sandy. The other one is Bev Chittister. She comes to us at the 8:30 service. Hopefully you've noticed, as we have noticed, Bev hasn't been here with Don. And when I spoke to them Friday, the reality was that she has had more issues with her foot, now her leg, and that more extensive testing has been going on. She has more to do, and she's in pain, limited mobility. That's the reason she's not with us. So I thought it appropriate that we'd have a card back there for the Chittisters. You know, if you've been in that position, there's the patient, and then there's the caregiver. Both have to be remembered, okay? So those are back there for your attention. Trying to think anything else. Oh, yes, John is the other one. He's at the 11 o'clock service. Thank you, Donna, I was looking at my notes. And John has been absent for us for about 6 or 8 weeks. Been tracking him because he said what was gonna be happening, but it's gotten worse than that. And also Elaine had medical issues. Well, he's been having his issues. So I talked to them and I said, you know, besides me taking communion this week to them, would do a card for them. So Donna set up the card. John is now in Regency rehab. Still trying to get things straightened out, both medicine and body, to work for him. Elaine is at home recovering from a changed pacemaker. So if you remember them in your prayers, please. All righty. This is a house of the Lord. It's also referred to as a house of prayer. And this is where we encounter God in our worship. If you'll please rise for confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. Eternal God and our Creator, in you we live and move and we have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all of our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us. And while we were still sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins.
Amen.
Our entrance hymn happens to be a favorite I know of one sitting in the front row with me, St. Francis, the prayer of St. Francis. I know we already did the confession, but let me confess my sin. I picked up the bulletin on my counter, and there was the real bulletin in the folder. So I was giving you the hymn of last week. Since Kay wasn't here, I gave her my bulletin. We sang the correct one for those on the radio. We're on page 4 for the service. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn of praise this day is Jesus. Name above all names. We'll sing it twice. It's so short.
Bye.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you join me in a prayer, let us pray together. Holy God, your word feeds your people with life that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have our first reading from the Old Testament, Joshua K. Price.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the Near East, covenant means agreement or alliance. It describes the relationships and is the primary word used to characterize the relationship between God and Israel. By delivering Israel, God has already begun the relationship. Joshua calls upon the people to respond. The first reading is from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 2a and 14 through 18. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord God drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Kay. Psalm of the day, Psalm 34, selective verses 15 through 22, read responsively with the antiphon included. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to erase the remembrance of them from the earth. Now the righteous cry, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirits are crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from every one. God will keep safe all their bones, and not one of them shall be broken. Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And we have our second reading with Bill.
The second reading for this Sunday is from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 20. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Word of God, word of life.
If you're able to stand for the gospel acclamation, I invite you to do so. We speak together. Hallelujah. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Gospel reading for the day, 6th chapter of John, verse 56 through 69. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. Now this is the bread that came down from heaven. It's not like that which your ancestors ate. They died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. Now, he said these things when he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching, Lord, is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware of his disciples, were complaining about it. Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is this spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit. They are life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that would not believe and who is the one who would betray him. So Jesus said, for this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with Jesus. So Jesus, turning to his 12, said, do you also wish to leave me and go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's peace, and certainly God's ultimate joy be given to us this day. Amen. As we look in the scriptures, and if you like to follow the sermon outline, the backside of your bulletin, inside cover, who do you serve consistently is a question I'd like to raise. You know, there are a lot of things people start. I remember the first time I came to town, I joined the YMCA. I was there for about a month. And I said, that's not for me. You ever start a project, start a campaign, or vow like New Year's, you're going to make this resolution? Month or two, what was it I thought about doing? Out of sight, out of mind, no consistency. Motivational speakers will say, that which you commit yourself to, not say, I'll try, you will be more successful at accomplishing. Gestalt School of Psychology, and I mentioned this to people in the congregation. When you say, I'll try to do something, I'll try to get to the meeting, I'll try to see you, 90% never happens. It's when you will something to occur, and actually perhaps put it on your calendar. And if you're disciplined enough to read what you wrote on your calendar and then follow it, you're more likely to do it. You've discovered that, haven't you? I mean, that's just life. Whether you're raising a family and children, say, I'll clean up my bedroom the end of the day before I go. When I'm back from school, I'll clean it up. And then 3 days later, it's still not cleaned up. Good intentions, I think the phrase goes, good intentions pave the way to hell, but success paves the way to heaven. It's a realization it's not just what you think you're going to do, but it's what you're going to do. Let's turn to the scriptures. If you follow me in the lessons printed in the bulletin, first reading is from Joshua. There's the introduction, which Kay read for us nicely, is about a covenant. For those whose study of the word is not formalized or intentional with other people, covenant is instrumental to understanding the Bible. Do you know that the word testament, Old Testament, New Testament, what the word testament means? It means covenant. How more foundational is that phrase than to describe the old covenant and the newer covenant in Jesus Christ? Absolutely indispensable. This one covenant of Joshua, it's called a covenant formula. I don't want to be too scholarly on you. But when the conditions of the agreement are laid before the people, it's usually tracking history, why you should give this response. In this case, it's towards God. Okay, it's a covenant with God. And so the mighty deeds of God are explained. Now it calls for a response on the believer's part. So last week, I had somebody, obviously not necessarily Lutheran, said to me, you know what's wrong with churches? Every service should end with an altar call. Because it's time to make a decision. I said, I'd lose all my Lutherans. Yes, in our hearts, our minds, our brains, when we hear the word of God, we need to affirm it. Not always with a creed, because that gets rote. We recite, but the brain is in neutral. A response on the part of the hearer and the believer is to say, yes, God, go. We're with you all the way. We're on your team. So Joshua says, you remember? God took your parents, your grandparents. He brought you out of despair, enslavement for 300 years. He brought you now to the daybreak of a new life, into a free land. He has done all this in his mighty deeds. He has displayed to you. He is working for you, not against you. Amen, Lord. You are for us. Now comes the response. They recite the history again. Yes, we know God has been with us. He has delivered us. He has kept us. He's provided our safety, our shelter. And now he goes forward with us into this new promised land that his sight has not our eyes never set eyes on yet. But we know and we trust God to go this distance. It's both scary and confident. But they say, yes, we go. So they make a covenantal statement and a response. When the covenant is spoken, calls for response, then the people respond. The other thing they also do, which I love, they had a meal. They ate. It was like the completion, the sealing of the covenant. A meal, covenantal meal. If you doubt that, go back to Jesus in the upper room. He gave us a new covenant, remember? He sealed it with a meal, his body, his blood. Same formula, Old Testament, covenant. God calls for a response. The believer is to affirm it. It's consummated by an act of food. And now go forward and live it. Okay? That's what Joshua calls Israel to do. Doesn't take long in your study, a few pages into your Old Testament from this event of the covenant, and Israel falls from it. Like human nature, we have good intentions, but terrible follow through. Sin gets in our way. Excuses abound. Reality is compromised. Intentions never get fulfilled. And God is still there. And God calls for a change. Metanoma, that means a changed heart, repentance. Turn around, he had sent his prophets. Come back to me, Israel. I am your shepherd. I would have gathered you, kind of like Jesus will say in the New Testament. Come, I'll gather you back, but don't stray out there on your own in this evil, evil world. It'll chew you up and spit you out, and it won't even notice you were there. But your God has a name for each of you, and he knows you're coming, going out, and you're coming in. That's the promise. From this day forward, forevermore. Remember that in the scriptures. I always like the passage where Jesus says, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Some of us made it easier. But he knows us intimately. He knows who we are, what our foibles are, what our sins are. And here's the miracle. In spite of what he sees when he sees Don Dorsbacher, he says, that's okay, Don, you're my kid. I got you covered. He's got all of us covered in the blood of Christ. We were forgiven. Chosen children of God. Second reading. Page 8, Ephesians. I refer to what the scholars do, and it's so true. The epistles of Paul are what we would call in our vernacular practical Christian living. Now, sometimes Christian language seems high and lofty, da, 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 da. Practical Christian living is what Paul addresses. So as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, you be strong in the Lord, in the strength of not your power. Hear the pronoun, his power. Well, don't I have to do something? Right, you can try to augment it, but you'll never match his power. His power will sustain you, not your power. I think the hardest thing is for humans to submit. I watch the terminally ill. I watch other people. We struggle as humans when we've tried to do everything to push off the enemy, death. We struggle as living day to day with adversity in life, thinking we are going to somehow fix it. One thing you learn in life is you can't fix anybody. You can't even fix yourself. That's an empty, hollow feeling when you deal with that in your gut. Therefore, like the 12 stages of AA, NA, all the anonymous groups, support groups, I come to a point in my life when I recognize the insanity I'm living, and I appeal to a higher power in my life. I'm going to call that God. And with great wisdom, it was. It's in our bankruptcy, in our emptiness, that kind of like Paul says, I prayed to, it's an old second reading during the summer, I prayed to the Lord that he would take this thorn in my flesh away. He says, Paul, ain't happening. You are going to have that the rest of your life. But here's the wisdom, Paul, I want you to get. It's a teaching point. Hear me. You have this upon you, not because you're bad or more sinful than anybody else, but because when you are weak, I am strong. It is when we are weak and broken that we are most susceptible to Jesus Christ. If you want to find a moment to reach a neighbor in the name of the Lord Jesus, the technique we use in evangelism is to find somebody under great stress. This is not cold calls. These are people whose life is out of control. And you listen, you care, you love. And then as God gives opportunity, and as 1 Peter says, then we share Jesus Christ. We don't lord it over them like, I got a fix-it plan for your life and I'll reorganize it. Oh, good Lord, how would you like somebody to reorganize your life? Leave it alone. The power is God's, not yours. You're not going to fix anybody. But you can be, as sometimes described in evangelism, is one beggar sharing a crumb of bread with another beggar. You don't have to go to theological school for that. You don't have to get advanced training. If Christ is alive in your life, you have a story. You have experience. You have Jesus. And you have the Holy Spirit. God go with you. You're his ambassador in that particular life. And it's that recognition that the power is God's. So as we're dealing with the adversary in this world, Paul gives instruction for all of us who name Jesus Christ. Put on the armor. Some might not like it because it's unmilitaristic. Oh, forget the culture of today. Deal with what it's saying. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the worst fallacies that Christians can ever make is to think because I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, I'm beyond Satan's reach of me, and Satan's done trying to get me. History, contemporary history, TV preachers, everybody has evidenced that if you're a prominent person or just a common person with faith in Jesus Christ, you have an X on your back, you are a target. You're not free from the attack of the evil one. Even good people, Christians, fall from grace. We're all under the same thing, living in an evil world. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. I mean, if you can see your enemy, hey, you know what you're dealing with. How about the friend or the neighbor or somebody who just comes and looks like a good person? You trust them. And they try to give you advice about life and purpose and all those things and about religion. I mean, I had experience in my Presbyterian church in Columbus, Ohio, in seminary. Sweet little gray-haired lady, probably in her 70s, came a-calling on a mother who was inactive in the Presbyterian church. Her daughter, who was a high schooler in my youth group at the church, this little lady opened up to her the Bible. Am I mocking it? You better believe it. She was Jehovah's Witness. And she started teaching them things that Jesus wasn't God. There is no resurrection of what the church teaches. There's another opportunity. There is no hell. There really is no evil. It's all going to be dealt with anyways by Jehovah. And when the family shared that with me, I said, I'd like to meet this dear little lady. Because wolves come in sheep clothing, Jesus said. And so she and I met scripture with scripture. She opened up her translation of the Bible, which is not the accepted translation. Whenever you're dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, don't use their Bible. Use the acceptable text of all denominations, because it's not denominational. It's God's word. And it hasn't been changed to prove your doctrines. Your doctrine should flow from the word of God. But not so for the witnesses. So correspondingly, talked to her. And I wish I could say it had a happy ending. I have no idea what that mother did and how the daughter was raised the rest of her days outside high school and grew up as an adult. But I still pray that we are dealing with forces out here that will lead us astray, our youth in colleges, our youth on the streets, our adults who dropped away from the church. And like Paul says, don't be tossed to and fro by every wow and teaching in Ephesians, but stay fast to Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, we're dealing with real power here. It's authorities in the world, evil governments, evil whatever. Spiritual forces of the evil. C.S. Lewis, you ever read C.S. Lewis? He wrote a book, and it's a parody. He was trying to address in the 40s and 50s the English concept, and it's an American concept too, but he was British, about Satan. And he wrote about a man or a figure who is a demon and his attack on a Christian. In a sense, what he did was rephrase it and say, how does Satan try to entice and target us? C.S. Lewis did a marvelous job. If you haven't read it, you've got it. You kind of laugh because he's always symbol and he's science fiction. But he is straight on when he talks the Christian story after his conversion to the faith. C.S. Lewis. So in that whole context, pray in the Spirit at all times in prayer and the supplication. To that end, keep alert. Always persevere in the supplication for the saints. Pray for me, Paul, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, can also be known with boldness, revealing the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consistency, not on again, off again. Consistency. Into the gospel. You would think of all people, the disciples who walked with Jesus, saw the miracles, saw him walking on the water, heard Peter's confession, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are, blessed are you, Peter bar Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. You hear all those things that the disciples heard recorded for us in Scripture. And then he says, you must eat my flesh, drink my blood. And if this is hard for you to figure out, is it any easier for me to say that I who came down will also go back up? Men, where's your faith? Are you the same ones who said these things? Are you now gone the other side and flipped on me? Well, they like us, vacillate. On again, off again. Sometimes strong, sometimes cold. But understanding that once they saw the risen Lord, they were with him all the way till death. Their faith had galvanized. Their faith was strengthened. Now you and I live in this cloudy, murky world. What's right? What's wrong? Who's true? Who's false? But understand, connected to Christ, God's word, that's why we Lutherans take this so seriously in confirmation training, children's church, Sunday school, adult study, is because the word brings life. Without the word, we weaken, we fall away, we don't see any purpose in a church. What's that for? I don't have time for these unnecessary things. I'm a busy person. But those grounded in faith in Jesus Christ find Christ indispensable. He is Lord. He is King. And He is our Savior. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. Remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day. He's got the whole world in His hands. I'm not trying to humble you, but you know the VBS citation is grades 1 and 2. He's got the whole world in His hands. That to the kids years ago. You just, yeah, that's it. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Follow the words. Please rise for our prayers.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. That God bless the church universal in every place, inspiring strength, courage to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Let us pray.
Mercy.
That God the Creator bless wild animals and family pets, prairies and kitchen gardens, beaches and sandboxes, mountains and hearths. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God spread the gospel throughout the nations of the world, announcing the words of eternal life to peoples in every land and country. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God remember the poor and the brokenhearted and rescue all those in trouble. Today we pray for Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Marion Thomas, Maria Romp, John Pinnell, Mike Parker, Bev Chittister, John Langoff, Sly Langoff, Sandy Smith, Gary Pike, Scott Pike's brother, Elvira Coulthard, Rhonda Crosby, and we also pray for the family of Crystal Ferris with her passing, and the family of Joel Wood with his passing, and we also remember those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison and Jamie Soulier and Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their services at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God protect members of this congregation along all our ways and empower us to serve Christ in sincerity and faithfulness. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God redeem the lives of those who have served in this faith and raise them up according to the promises of Jesus Christ, the bread that nourishes eternal life. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope as well as trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or even imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today we sing the Lord's Prayer, please. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts to do the work of our Lord on this earth. Radio broadcast this day, sponsored by Ann McCray. Flowers on the Altar by Hope Dorsbacher, in memory of my father, Fred. In the Dorsbacher household, my father was alive that all four of my children could see him before his death at age 83. Cheryl's mother and father were deceased. My mother was deceased. So my kids grew up with no grandparents. And that was kind of the way I was raised. My grandparents were deceased when I was alive. So my father was significant to the four children. They all got to see it. Hope was the only one that saw Cheryl's mom before her passing. So Hope always surprises me. She always signs up for flowers, not telling me or Cheryl, because he meant something to her. How many grandkids do that? Many things in your bulletin, I hope you'll read, respond to them. We're doing a new newsletter this week. For those of you who have shared with us your email address, and you can give it to us any day, or call us with it, or text us with it, you get the e-letter that we send out every Monday or Tuesday. And if I get it in the right language, not from publisher from which it is shaped, but in a PDF file that you can read in any format, it comes to you. Last week, if you got it, you saw it was 23 pages long. If you didn't open it up, shame, shame, shame. Because in it, we provide to you for the last 8 months all the council's doings, all the business and operations of our Savior. There has never been a secret in this church for 98 years, nor will there be a secret. We disclose everything if anybody wants to see it. It's there. So go back and reference it, pull it out of your spam or wherever you saved it or didn't save it. We'll send you another copy. We're going to be starting everything. I've completed the newsletter for production this week. Been working all weekend to get these documents done because I want to see the people who are critically ill, so I have to be free of office duties. Accordingly, there are many things that are coming your way, one of which is confirmation ministry. All youth age 10 and above, if you're borderline 9 and a half and your parents think you can handle it, come on aboard. We'd like to have you in confirmation. I anticipate 4 to 6 young people. I hope and pray that happens. We won't talk about how many could be potential. It's like 20. But their families are not participating in this church. So, but we do pray for the ones who will participate in Christian education with us. Children's Church will start September 9th. It is Rally Day. On that day, we're going to have a potluck. We will have KFC chicken. The meal time will be 12 noon. Then after that, we'll go back to the new hours for coffee hour. But this is going to be a time at 12 noon because it's a meal. It's a luncheon, okay? Many things that are still coming, I'll give you more updates on them. I do want to say publicly, I hope you read it somewhere in all the publications I've typed for us. Our brother in ministry, John Hetzeroff, who I've known for about 18 years down at Pilgrim Lutheran, Marysville. He has taken retirement, I believe his last Sunday is September 16th. Does that mean? There was a rumor started, oh, you've got to hate rumors and gossip. The Pilgrim was closing its doors. Oh, give me a break. The church is not its pastor. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, they'll be under the Synod care as they go through the process of self-study, preparation, and interview, and whatever else they have to do. Pilgrim goes on. For those of you who know the history of our Savior, they are a daughter of our Savior. We gave birth to Pilgrim back in the 40s. We gave birth to the church over in Sarnia. What's the name that Anne's from? Yeah, I draw the blank too. But she'll tell me at worship at 11. But we gave birth to them as well. So not many churches give birth to two congregations. Our Savior has. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise. We sing our offertory. We're going to only sing first and fifth verse, okay? One and five.
Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set the feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. May God, whose power working in us can infinitely do more than we ask, more than we can imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
And remind you to sign the cards on the back table before you scurry out. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of the closing hymn. Okay? 1 and 4.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.